Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm here with Christopher John O'Shea.
Yes, you are. Good to be with you, Andrew.
How are you tonight? Are you having a great night?
It's been a while since I've been here with you.
Has it been?
Yeah.
Oh, it seems like you're always here with me, Chris. You know?
I'm always present in your head.
There you go.
If not in presence.
In spirit, at the very least.
Yeah,
you know?
It's been probably 4 or 5 weeks. So anyway, it's good to be here. We've got an open show.
A totally open show, just like last week. That means Brian's going to open up the phone lines, right, Bri? Yep. See that? You know? He follows directions extremely well. Anyway, we're here on an open show,
9-422-6680.
I knew I could get it out of there sooner or later. I just had a freeze there for a second.
That's why there's two of us.
410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, you're the listener, you're the guest tonight. You get to say, this is what I need to hear about. This is what I want to talk about. This is what's important to me. Help me understand this, and it'll help me in my personal finances, whether it's estate planning, income taxes, elder care planning, 401ks, IRAs, et cetera, et cetera. I was at a company today helping them set up a new 401k plan. It's fascinating. A lot of young people in this company, and they were all enthusiastic about joining the 401k. I was really impressed. They all wanted to be a part of it, and they understood the reason why it was so important to be a part of it. So anyway, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question on anything in personal finances. In 2 weeks, January 29th, we're going to run an interview that I had with Charles Schwab.
Himself.
Charles Schwab himself, the company that was founded by him, Charles Schwab and Company. And it's the book that he wrote, Invested, is about the history of the company. How did he start it? Why did he start it? What were the issues that he had for the years after he got going? And how did he make it work? And why did he do it? And, you know, it was a fascinating conversation. It's only 16 minutes long, but I'm going to run each different segment from that interview on January 29th, and I would strongly encourage you to listen in or at least get the podcast of it after it plays, because what he talks about is extremely important. He's an incredibly humble man that he gives his time generously to everyone. And as much as he can, he's just like that. And as I say, it was a great interview. And
he transformed the industry.
He's still transforming the industry.
Yeah,
he just dropped the interest trading costs down to zero.
Right.
And when he did, almost every company followed him. Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, Vanguard, many companies all followed suit, saying, you know, hey, if Schwab did it, we're going to have to do it too. So that was one thing I want to bring up. That's January 29th. The second thing I want to bring, I don't know why I want to talk about this, but, you know, it's the Ravens. You know, the Ravens lost in the playoff, and, it was disappointing to see them lose. But, you know, as a fan, this is a time you need to encourage your team, not a time to sit there and rag on them and say, yeah, they did this or they did that, you know, and so forth. You know, it's the time that, you know, you got to say, you know, Lamar, you know, what he did for Baltimore for that 12-game streak, or, yeah, 12 games, right? Right,
yeah,
in a row?
Sure.
What
yep.
he did for Baltimore was incredible. And so he didn't win the playoffs this time. He's 23 years old. A guy's
22.
An incredibly
right. –
Well, 2023, just turned 23 like a week before the game.
Okay.
So,
right.
You know, I mean.
Hey, I'm struck. Drew's talking Ravens.
Hey,
go
you know,
for it.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, you are.
My wife's a fan.
There you go.
And, you know, I got to support her.
You've become...
But I'm, you know, if I'm going to watch it, I might as well enjoy it. And I like the guy, and I like the whole team. I think they're, and John Harbaugh is a great guy. This is the time you need to support your team. Now, if they were just out there losing and every week, like the Orioles, I don't know how you can like the Orioles. But I'll tell you what, when I meet a fan that loves the Orioles still after years and support them, I mean, these people are real fans, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because I have a friend who still listens or watches almost every game.
My brother is a strong Oriole fan, still, after all these years that they've...
Well, not to get off subject, but yeah, for what the Ravens did, I agree with you. It's an amazing run. As a friend of mine said, well, you just joined the Losers Club. Remember, every team except one joins the Losers Club during the season.
Yeah.
Because there's only one Super Bowl winner.
Yeah. Well, you know, also, here's another thing, too. You go back and look at the guy's record, Lamar Jackson, he only gets better when he plays. His stats just get better and better and better as he gets to understand. Go look at his college record. His stats just kept getting better and better as he played more in college. And I would bet you anything that this guy's just going to get better and better as football, you know, as he progresses in the pros.
It's pretty hard to top the year he had. But
it is pretty hard to top the year he had.
He'll get more well-rounded. And yes, I would hope he would just get more. Well, he's going to get more experience. He's going to get, you know, when you saw...
My prediction is he's going to win 3 Super Bowls in his career.
Well, but it's not some people feel the best quarterback, you know, oftentimes they say the best quarterback of all time are the people who've won multiple Super Bowls. And I would say, I think Brady is the greatest of all time. But other people, you had to win Super Bowls. Well, there's other people who say Dan Marino, as far as throwing the ball, Dan Marino was as good as anybody. Top couple of three, and he never won any Super Bowl. So you can't do it by yourself.
Right. That's true.
You can't do it by yourself.
So we're on an open show talking about personal finance.
Not sports.
410-922-6680. No one's online. And if you want to get online, give us a call at 410-922-6680 and ask your question on personal finance. Right now, we got to take a traffic break, so we'll go to traffic. You want to get online again, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Christopher John O'Shea, and we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Before I go to our listeners' questions, we do have a couple people online, so there's plenty of lines open if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. I just wanted to address something that our friend Gene from Columbia talked about last week. So I talked to Nino, and anytime I talk about the state of Maryland, I always get on a rant about how ridiculous they are in taxing.
And spending,
and it's always more money. That's the answer to everything to Democrats, in my opinion, is more money. And Gene called in after, I was on my rant. He said, Mississippi, they have all these horrible roads, dangerous bridges, da-da-da-da-da. Isn't there a balance? And, his implication was Mississippi was a low-tax state. Maryland is a higher-tax state, but we've got a really good, safe road system. Well, so I did some homework. homework on this, Chris. California, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, three of the worst road systems. Rhode Island is unconditionally considered the worst road and infrastructure state in the entire country, and Rhode Island has one of the highest tax systems in the country. California, very high tax rates in lots of ways. And Connecticut, definitely, I mean, ridiculously high tax state. New Jersey, ridiculously high tax state. All these states were considered very poor infrastructure, very poor road system. And one state, one site, even said that Delaware's roads were better than Maryland roads. I thought that was funny. Well. So, you know, the point is, when you do the research, there is no correlation between the road system and the taxation of the state, because one of the other things was that Alabama and Georgia were two of the absolute best road and infrastructure states in the country, and yet they are two of the absolute lowest tax states in the country. So, you know, there didn't seem to be, when you did the homework, there didn't seem to be any correlation between the amount of money that they tax the people and the services that you're getting from the road system. So anyway, that was an interesting point. Let's go to Julie in Dundalk. Julie, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. I just wanted to say I love the music that you use for your lead-in.
Well, you know, Chris always has the wrong group after I tell him who it is. But well, anyway, we'll work on him.
All right. I wanted to get more information on fiduciary to understand it a little bit better. I'm within 5 to 10 years of retiring, but I don't have $200,000 saved. I only have about $50,000 saved, but I want to protect it, and I'm not sure how to go about doing that.
Well, the word fiduciary has many different definitions. A company like ours, we're independent fee-only advisors regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. We fall under the standard definition of fiduciary based on court rulings going back to like 1964. And basically that is you have to work in a client's best interest. You have to reveal all conflicts of interest you have. And any violation of not working in the best interest, not revealing any conflicts of interest you have, could put you at risk to a lawsuit. Now, somebody who's a broker, somebody who works for Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, Ameriprise, Edward Jones, you know, if you work for a brokerage like 30 years ago, Chris and I used to work with Raymond James and Associates. We were brokers. When we were brokers, we're under a suitability standard. Suitability means this. Julie comes in and says, I've got $50,000 to invest. I'm willing to take some risk with it. I want growth. Can you help me? And we say, yeah, Julie, we'll help you. And so we take your $50,000, we put it in an aggressive growth mutual fund that has the worst track record in the history of mankind. It's going to get us a trip around the, you know, to the Grand Canyon and all expenses paid. We're going to get a 10% commission out of it, et cetera, et cetera. And there's no risk to us for doing that to you. Because it was suitable. In other words, you asked for growth, you asked for aggressive growth. As long as I give you that, even though it's the worst mutual fund you could have chosen, even though it's going to have lots of conflicts of interest to me, there's no risk to me to do that and to present that investment to you under that suitability standard. There's no fiduciary standard for brokers, and they fight it tooth and nail. That's why I have a passion to say, if you're going to work with somebody who is not under a broker suitability standard. And normally what we recommend for somebody like yourself, Julie, is to look to a company like Schwab or Vanguard or Fidelity. You know, these people don't take commissions. They don't do a lot of this stuff. Or you can go to some of these new companies like you know, Betterment or Schwab Intelligent Portfolio, where they are under a fiduciary standard based on the way their product offering is developed. And it's a very straightforward, no commission, you know, and they're trying to do a really good job for people. So that's what I would suggest.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. You take care. Good question. Very good question. We're going to go to Mark. Oops. Let me get that off there. There you go. Now we're going to go to Mark. Mark, how can we help you in Pikesville?
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm doing fine. My question is, and it kind of depends what you might think real estate associated, but if I have $50,000 that the question is to do a home remodel that would cost that much or keep it invested, would you be able to advise, and well, I'm not looking for specific, but well, advise on what to do with that $50,000?
Okay, so is that all you have in the brokerage account?
No, I have more than that.
Right. Okay, so here's your thought process, Mark, okay? So you have to think about what are my options? So you have option number one is take it out of the brokerage account, okay? So that's option number one. Option number two is to borrow the money. And option number two, you can either take a home equity credit line or you could refinance your whole first mortgage if you have one, or if you don't have one, do a new one and get the money there, all right? So now what you're looking at is what's the opportunity cost? If I sell investments over here in my brokerage account, am I going to have to pay taxes on that? And do I think I'm going to still get a reasonable rate of return on that money in that brokerage account as opposed to borrowing the money at an interest rate? And if you do a home equity credit line, it's going to be a variable interest rate. If you do a new first mortgage where you take the money out, it's going to be a fixed rate. And so your question is the cost of the money I'm going to borrow worth it compared to the taxes I would pay if I sold things over here and the rate of return I think I'm going to get if I leave it over here? Now, if I think I'm going to get a negative rate of return over the next 10 years, I'm definitely going to be selling and paying my taxes over here. But if I think I'm going to get a reasonable rate of return over here, and I think the interest rate over here is low, I might be tempted to just go ahead and refinance and take cash out and do my remodeling with that kind of money as opposed to selling. But again, it all comes down to your subjective decisions as to where do you feel your best risk-reward ratio is, selling, paying the taxes, and moving out of some of those brokered assets, or borrowing the money, paying an interest rate over an extended period of time, knowing that I save the taxes and I still have the good opportunity cost on the money. So that's the thought process that we would use to try to make that kind of decision.
Okay, so a little twist on that.
Go ahead.
What if I have enough cash?
Well, cash is...
I wouldn't have to sell, you know, stock or mutual funds.
Well, cash is, you know, number one, as long as it doesn't deplete your emergency cash, then you're going to use cash. In other words, if a client says to me, I've got $100,000, I'm going to do a $50,000 renovation, I could either borrow, I could sell assets in my brokerage account, or I could use my cash. It's a simple decision. I say you take your money out of cash as long as you have a good $50,000 or more buffer for emergencies in the future, because cash cannot outperform a mortgage, right? And it can't.
Okay.
And it can't outperform investments normally either, especially after you pay all the taxes on it. You know, so, you know, those are the kind of thought processes we're going to use. We're looking strictly at the concept of risk reward and opportunity cost versus cost of money versus opportunity of making money. And that's the thought process you use. Taxes will come into play in this consideration, but taxes are only a piece of the pie, not a total piece of the pie. And remember, any financial advisor you ask should be very cautious about what you're hearing from them because they have an economic bias. When we work with a client, they ask us that question. The first thing we say to them, remember, we have an economic bias, but here's our full explanation. I want you to make the best decision understanding that we'd prefer to keep that money in your investment account, but we want you to make a great decision, and here's how you're going to do it. So always remember that economic bias that any quote-unquote financial advisor has when you're asking that kind of question. All right?
All right. I appreciate the point you made about the performing your mortgage or your home, you know, outperforming your savings interest.
Yeah. So I got to go to traffic, Mark. You know, appreciate your question, my friend. Good question. And we got to go to traffic now, and we'll be right back on an open show. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBL.
And we're back. Money, riches, and wealth. The Supremes. Everybody knows that. What, you don't know that?
It's Motown.
See? He doesn't know either. And he's the one pulling it up on the computer. I can't believe it. Anyway.
We're here at an open show. And
we're
on
an open show. That is correct.
All the lines are open.
All the lines are open. There is nobody online. If you want to call in, be the guest tonight and tell us what topic you want to talk about, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Call in and ask any question you want. We do have a big topic to talk about. That's the Secure Act. The Secure Act went into effect in December. Well, it was passed and signed by the president at the end of December 2019. And, you know, here's a surprising thing. I just got an email this morning from a client who called Fidelity today and said, I want to do a rollover of my money from my 401k. And Fidelity said to him, well, you retired last year, sir, so you have to take a RMD, a required minimum distribution, from your 401k before you can roll it over. Well, you know, the problem is, though, that he is 70 and a half in 2020, not 2019. And therefore, his required minimum distribution now is deferred to age 72. And, you know, why is Fidelity not teaching their people on the phone to know this information? Because what I'm saying is that you could be calling these companies up at the beginning of this year, telling them that you want to take and do a rollover your money and you're 70 years old or so. You don't need to be doing a required minimum distribution, and yet they're requiring you to do a minimum distribution, and yet it's totally wrong. And they're not actually thinking and applying these rules the way they ought to. Fidelity's a big company. They should know this. It could just be one isolated person he talked to. You know, I don't know. But I'll bet you there's a lot of companies that aren't going to have this information, even for a year or more.
Like I say, it's a couple weeks, so it's been, you know, by the time it gets through the training loop. But there's certain companies are better than others.
Certain companies are better. Fidelity.
When we call up and we try to get things done through a T. Rowe Price, they've got some educated folks.
Yeah.
There, you know, typically.
Yeah. And anyway, so you know, just be careful. There's new Secure Act, lots of new changes to IRA laws.
Yep.
You know, you can do an IRA now at any age. You don't have to be under 70 and a half to do an IRA. Qualified charitable distributions are still now the same, 70 and a half, even though the age for mandatory withdrawals has been moved to 72. Qualified charitables are still at 70 and a half. There's lots of things. And now when you pass away and leave it to a non-spouse beneficiary, your children have to withdraw the money in 10 years.
The biggest change.
It's the biggest change.
The stretched IRA is
But it's going to argue very strongly for Roth conversions. You need to understand how to professionally do Roth conversions. And this is why there's going to be a bigger and bigger differentiation between those advisors that are strong in tax and tax planning and those that just sell investment products or insurance products. It's going to require more sophisticated tax planning, in our opinion, and this new SECURE Act is just going to require that to be thought out very carefully. We're going to Steve in Pikesville. Steve, how can we help you?
Hey, good evening.
How you doing?
Good. So my question is this. Let's say you have a fair amount of money in a brokerage-type account, call it for simplicity $1 million.
Okay.
And you're not happy with the return with those people you've had. I've had it there for 10 years or so. And I know I'm going to get hit with a capital gains tax when I pull it out. I'm thinking of moving it over to more, let's say, of a value-type investment strategy with a different firm. How do you calculate out the time period or the percentage you might have to earn to make up that difference you're going to get hit with the capital gains tax? You know, is it worth it actually pulling it out or just stick with it because, you know—
Well, you would want to pull it out. If you're not happy with it, you want to pull it out and make sure that the reason you're pulling it out is logical. Okay, so that's number one.
Right.
Number two, you may do what we do a lot of times is we, you know, client comes to us with that type of portfolio. We're going to look at, well, where are the capital gains? And what of those capital gains, what are they invested in? Is it still logical as to why we want to keep that one investment, but yet we're going to move out of these other investments that haven't performed and don't have a lot of capital gain in it, and then reallocate a new formula to that, and then slowly but surely liquidate that one with the big capital gain and so forth. So sometimes, you know, torch the whole portfolio, pay all the taxes, and move on can be a wise strategy. But you better understand why you're doing it, what you're getting rid of, and what are you going to make it all that worthwhile. And then sometimes this approach that, you know, we like to use a lot where we're just going to keep some of those investments and try to figure out how to hold on to them and realize only some gains each year for the few years, knowing, though, that this is not a bad investment that we have to go be getting liquidated immediately.
Right, but this is more like, let's call it a money market fund. So most of that money is sitting in one account where you really can't segregate out the individual stocks that are within that fund. Right? You have to liquidate the whole thing or none of it. You don't really have a choice.
Well, you only have one fund then?
With that particular, I'm talking about that type of money in one particular fund.
$1 million in one specific fund that has a big capital gain in it.
Right.
Well, I'd like to see that one. That would be interesting. And then the question would be, why do you think that it didn't do well? If it has a big gain in it, what
right.
You know, because normally if it's a fund, it should be paying out those capital gains every year.
Correct.
That you should be
correct.
Paying tax. So you
correct.
May not have that much of a gain in it from a tax point of view.
Correct. Correct.
So
okay.
So then if you don't have a lot of gain in it from a tax point of view and it's not been a great fund, then you just liquidate it, pay a little bit of tax, and move on.
Great. Okay. Well,
all
I
right.
appreciate it. Thank
right.
you.
Joe in Towson.
Yes, sir. Hi, Drew.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I really enjoy your show. Sometimes it's a little painful to listen to because I haven't done that much with retirement stuff. But even before I say that, I want to mention to you, I appreciate what you said about the Ravens, and it is a time to support them. But it's also easy to vent, you know, like if you call into, I haven't called into a talk show.
Well, hey, Joe, can I ask you a favor?
Yeah.
Can you hold on because I gotta go to traffic. Can you hold
yeah,
on? Would you be willing to hold on for me and you'll be yes, first up?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy, you hold on. I really appreciate that. And we're gonna go to traffic for Chris. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're going back to Joe. So, okay. Simon and Garfunkel. But go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, that was good. Your music is good. I'm 64 years old, so it's a lot of your music I can relate to.
Our genre. There you go. Go ahead, friend.
Okay. The Ravens thing was so disappointing, though, and so kind of heinous. It almost seemed like it was gross negligence, but I realize that's a very strong term, because I'm sure they tried their best and prepared and did everything. But I do think that the rust factor, the rustiness, was a big issue.
But the Kansas City Chiefs had the same.
Huh?
The Kansas City Chiefs had the same.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And
but then again, Mahomes played in the last game of the year for the Chiefs. They had to, right? They had a big game. So
Yeah. And the guys in some of the talk shows have made some good points. I think they said we only ran the ball like 9 times.
Well, that was the thing that was funny, is that there was no running at all, and that was the hallmark of our team, is that you ran and ran and ran and ran, and boom, you passed the ball, and next thing you know, you caught them off guard, and you just kept hammering them like that. But that's not what they did, and I think it was because Ingram seemed to be hurt. You know?
Yeah.
And so did Andrews. Seemed to be hurt, and they weren't performing. But anyway, we got to get on our call question because I've got 2 more callers I got to get to.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna then cut this way down, because I could go all over the place with my situation. You know, I had my own business for a while. Still do on a much more limited basis. I have a full-time job now that is in the area that's related to my business. But I haven't really saved much. My wife has a pretty good TIAA prep. I haven't really had chance to do much saving at all. I do have my Social Security coming, and I'm probably going to wait till 70 to cash in on that, because then my wife, if something happens to me, will get more.
Right. Well, what's the question?
Question is, what do you recommend to somebody who is really not really been negligent, but really hasn't had the wherewithal?
Do they have a 401k at your company?
No, they don't.
They do not?
No.
And does your wife make
more? We open up a Roth IRA, but I have just a little teeny bit in there. I had to do something to feel like I was getting started.
Right. Do you and your wife make more than $100,000 a year?
No.
Okay. Then you just you set up an IRA. And if your business, is your business still making a lot of money or any money?
No, not much. But so there's some things coming up where I'm going to make some.
You need to save a Roth IRA, $7,000 per year for both you and your wife every year. That's $14,000 a year you could put away in a Roth IRA. That's the number one thing you need to be doing, Joe.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what you got to focus on, my friend. All right.
That's great advice. I love your scripture and your godliness and your whole business. And I might stop in and see you someday.
That'd be great. We appreciate it. Good talking to you, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks.
We're going to Sam in Randallstown. Sam, how can we help you? Sam? Is Sam in Randallstown still there? I don't think so. We're going away from Steve. Steven in Eastern Shore.
Hello.
Yeah, there you are. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I recently inherited, I was a beneficiary on 2 401ks. One was a 401A, actually, and one's a 403B. what options do I have, you know, to take that money? I mean, can I take a lump sum and not reinvest
Well, wait a minute. Who'd you inherit them from?
My wife.
Your wife. Okay. So have you, and what year did you inherit them? This year or last year?
19.
Have you moved them to your name?
No, not yet.
How old was your wife?
60.
60, and how old are you?
The same age.
60, so it doesn't really matter. You're over 59 and a half, so you ought to transfer those accounts over to your name, roll them into an IRA, and then you can withdraw them however you want to based on what you think is most logical for you from a tax point of view if you need to withdraw them. But hopefully you don't need to withdraw them and you'll allow it to accumulate until you're ready to fully retire. But the first thing you need to do, Steve, is get those accounts transferred into your name, out of your wife's name, and as the beneficiary, and then consolidate them into an IRA in your name, okay? And then figure out what you want to do from there. But I would definitely
IRA
not be taking any lump sums out of there.
Okay. All right. Would a Roth IRA be better?
No. I'm assuming your wife accumulated this money in a pre-tax account, right? In other words,
right.
It's all tax deferred. If you take
right.
that and you roll it over to a Roth, you're going to have to pay taxes on all of it. How much is it? $20,000, $50,000, $200,000, $2
million? Yeah. No. Probably six figures.
So you think about it, Steve. Let's say it's $200,000 and you roll it into a Roth. The federal government's going to come to you and say, minimum, Steve, between me and Larry Hogan, we want $80,000 from you for rolling it over to a Roth. Now, you want to go to a traditional IRA. Once you get into the traditional IRA, then you need some good tax advice to think about how do I slowly filter maybe $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 a year into a Roth based on your own personal tax situation. But the first thing you need to do, get them into your name, consolidate, roll over, do a direct rollover. Once they're in your name, do a direct rollover into a traditional IRA. Some companies will allow you to just leave there, going direct to a traditional IRA in your name. Get them in the IRA and then get some good tax planning advice to how to slowly convert that into a Roth IRA for the long term or leave it as a tax-deferred IRA for the rest of your life. And there are times when that could be very logical for you.
Okay.
Sorry about the loss. You lost, my friend, but now's the time to be doing some good tax planning with that, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. You know, his question is brilliant, you know, in the sense that he's inherited money from his wife. He hasn't done anything yet, but, he comes for advice. And, here's the way the advice has to work. You have to figure out what's the age of the person that died, what's the age of the person that who survived. Now, I'm talking spouses. This mm-hmm. only works with spouses. And let's say Steve was 50 years old and his wife was 60 years old. Steve would want to maybe leave it in that account because he could withdraw it even though he's under 59 and a half without penalty. Well, let's say Steve was 70 years old and his wife was 60 years old. Then he might want to leave it in his wife's name
right.
because then he could defer RMDs until she would have been 72 years of age.
Required distributions
until she was 72 years of age. There's a lot of literally cool planning techniques that you need to understand, and that's why tax planning is a critical part of financial advising. Anyway, we're out of time, Chris.
Yeah, I agree. Good stuff.
Next week, we're going to be talking business planning with Shauna Levia, and it should be a good show. And 2 weeks from now, we're doing our interview with Charles Schwab himself. And I think that'll be a great educational show. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna